You know what we said last time? Perhaps that we need God to teach us what He wants us to know. So let's pray. Lord God, please teach us what You want us to know. And it may be things that I haven't even prepared. But Lord, I pray that Your name will be honoured here and You'll do us good and teach us things that we need to know so that we might hear Your voice and follow You. So please remember us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Saturday I said there were two questions that you ask of passages of Scripture. Two questions. What were those two questions? The first one was, and the second one was, that's correct. We ask what and we ask so what. Now there's a lot of subordinate questions that we ask in connection with that, but they're really the two big categories. What and so what. And last time when we were there we did an awful lot of what, and I thought afterwards, well, we didn't do all that much so what. We did do some so what, but we could have done more, but we're not going to do that now. At least we've done enough, I think, to see how it works. And you know that you could stop and you could say, okay, now let's tease this out, let's go and think about what it means in our lives. I want to say a little bit more about that so what before we get on to the thing we want to focus on today. How many of you have done or do ABCD Bible studies? Yeah, okay, that's good. That means I've got something new to say. Okay. ABCD Bible studies are go this way. Analysis. See, what you do is, this is all part of what, is you say, what's it saying? And what you do is probably write it out in your own words, or do a summary, or something of that nature. Because you're just trying to think carefully, what does it say? Putting it in your own words is very, very helpful. Because, you know, we can read over stuff, and we think we know what it says, because we're used to it. It's the Bible. But to slow down and say, now, what does it really say? Let's put it in my own words. Or I like thinking, I want to put it in words that someone that I meet in the street who isn't a Christian would understand. No? Still the truth, still what it says, that's what I try to do. Right? Analysis, and that's what. And it really does make you think about what it says. And the second thing that you do is they look for basic verse or verses. Now there's a little bit of artificiality in this. But sometimes when you're going through a passage, you say, that verse sort of is the pivot. Or that is the punchline. Or that sums it up. And so it's just good to start thinking, now what's the punchline here? Or what's the pivot? What's the point? Three P's and the 3 points to your sermon, Steve. Okay, but basic verse or verses that you're looking for. Okay? And that's very helpful. But again, it's what, isn't it? Still doing the what. But then comes the so what. The challenge. That's where you go to so what. Now, of course, I'll come back to that in a minute, but I just want you to know, because I don't want to finish here, difficulties. You come to difficulties too, and as you're doing all this, you might have difficulty. You know, what does this really say? This is not difficulties in applying it, but this is, I just don't really understand this part of the text. So it's just good to note those down as well. That gives you more homework to do. And also, it means that sometimes you don't get stuck on a hard point. You know how you go through a Bible study, and sometimes you get stuck on that hard point? And it's really not the point of the passage, but you just get stuck on it. If you can put it in the difficulties basket and say, okay, I'm going to go do some more work on that, but I can get back to this because I haven't lost that, but I can still see what it's saying. So difficulties is valuable to have. But challenge. And in challenge, there are three, and this of course is so what. And they put it in three questions, which is very, very helpful. It's helpful for me. And the first one is, what is God saying to you, right, it's personal, to you, in this part of His Word? Now, because you've done your homework, you've really been thinking, this is what it's about. So you're trying to get this right first. But then you're trying to be very personal. What is God saying to you? Not even what does this passage say to you. Notice it's personal. What is God saying to you? That's important because we're not just doing a mechanical exercise. We're trying to say, we believe this is God's word, yes? That God speaks to us. Okay. And so we should be, what is God saying to you in this part of his word? And again, you're just listening. Okay. It's the start of the so what. Okay. But the second part is, how does your life measure up? How does your life measure up? Now, it's hard work. Okay. But it's good. It's good to ask it. You know, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you don't have to panic. You don't have to panic because we're not saved by what we do. Right? We're saved by the blood of Christ. Right? But then because we follow Christ, he is our Lord, we're really saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Yes? And so this is great. How does your life measure up? I from time to time use the example of the situation in a gym, sir. Are you asking a question? Oh, okay, just stretching. That's okay. Anyone can stretch, it's not a problem. Okay. But in the gym. Now, as you can see from my physique, I'm often in the gym. Well, maybe not. But you people have been... Steady. Okay. But you understand, you go into the gym, right? And around the walls, what have you got? You've got mirrors, right? And why have you got mirrors? So people can look at themselves. Now, they can look at themselves for a number of reasons. Often it's to think how great they are. Right? But that's probably not the best reason the mirrors are there. The mirrors are also there so that they can see the weak points on which they need to work. Yeah? That is one of the reasons for mirrors. Yeah? So that, and that you're doing the exercise in the strict form. Right? But, you see, if your biceps aren't as they ought to be, then you say, I've got to work on that, you know, doing the curls and whatever it might happen to be. And so this is what we're doing here. How does your life measure up? Not in order that we'll be depressed, but in order that we can do something about it. We can say, Lord, help me. I really need to grow here. So you see the point? It just makes so much sense. Okay. So how does your life measure up? And then the third thing, and this is also what, is... you can understand my writing. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because look, we can get to this stage even and feel really bad, but not make any plans to actually do something about it. I mean real plans. You know, there are these sort of plans. You probably know this stuff, you know, about SMART goals, right? Okay. So, what are they? They're specific, measured. Oh, okay. Measured. What's this? Achievable, is it? Realistic. Time. I'm going to say time bound. Bound's not really the right word, but it'll have to do. Now, I mean, that's really what we should do. SMART goals. Huh? Because we're asking, see, because here you can say, in the handout that we do ABCD from, they say, look, don't make these lifelong, look, nothing wrong with doing something lifelong. But, you know, we can do this vague, Lord, I'm going to spend 3 hours a day praying from now on for the rest of my life. You're not going to spend 3 hours praying a day for the rest of your life. I mean, you'll get exhausted after a week. I mean, you might, but you see what I'm saying? You know, we get this burst of conscience and we make this big and then it just doesn't work. We've just got to be, specific. It's got to be measured and measurable. It's achievable, realistic, time bound. And just to do something rather than nothing is a real plus. Right? And as I think the example they give is, because of the way, what your word tells me about its power, this week, I'm going to review the minister's sermon 3 times. Now, how's that? You've heard that God's word is important, and so you're going to do something about it, very specific. You say, okay, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm going to pull out my sermon notes and I'm going to review and pray about the minister's sermon. See, you've done something. It's specific, measured, achievable, realistic and time-bound. And time-bound, I'm saying, you can check yourself. You say, did I do it? See? So that's what we mean by, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So that's the so what. So I just thought I'd want to add that to you, give that to you, so that we would... So when you think about so what, even with what I'm going to talk about now, you might say, what is God saying? And this is, now, look, this is very important. When I finish this, I hope that you'll be asking the question, what is God saying to me in this part of his word? Really? Okay? And, well, these ought to flow from it. Because I think this is very important. Please look up your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Watch the time. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Yes. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. And Nathaniel, I've got you.
But if we judged ourselves...
10:31.
So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Okay, now we all know that verse, don't we? Yes? We all know that verse. So whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. As Bill was saying this morning, what do we learn? We learn, some of us anyway, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The question and answer in the Shorter Catechism, the first one, and that one of the texts that it's based on is this particular text. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. But how do you think the Lord wants us to respond to this? What does that mean? What does it mean, and what does it mean we should do? That's really what we're asking now. See, I'm going to do something which is totally wrong, and that is, you're around tables and you can actually talk to each other. Okay. I just want you to ask yourself, how do you think the Lord wants us to respond to this verse? Now, I know it's so what before the what. But look, it's okay to do a so what before the what, so long as you go back and do the what, which we're going to do. Right? But it's good to start off. I mean, it can even be good to start off and say, okay, what is this about? Let's just think, come up with a hypothesis, and we'll check it in a minute. All right? So, how do you think God wants you to respond to a verse like this? Or wants us to respond to a verse like this? What does it mean in practice? What does it mean in your life? Speak to your friends. And what we could do, of course, we could take your ideas and put them up on the board. But I just want you, because there's only so many hours in the day, and because the business manager says I have to finish by 5 past, okay, that you just keep it around your table. You know what you've said. And as we go through it, we'll check and see, well, is this what we said? And you might say, yeah, that's what we said. You say, fine, let's go for it. You might say, man, I need to modify this a bit. Okay, so you've got your hypothesis. You know what you're thinking. You even might have your questions. Let's just see how we've gone. And look, when I've said what I've said, and I've led you by the nose through this, you've got to say, is this biblical? You have to check it. Right? You have to say, you've got to be Bereans to check God's word and say, yes, what he says is true. Because right? At the end of the day, it's not me. The end of the day, it's between you and God. Right? So, here we go. Let's have a look at what this passage says. And I think, first of all, it's in the book of Corinthians. Okay, so I don't just teach Old Testament, I know this as well. It's in the book of Corinthians. Okay. And you see, they are Christians who need clarity about how to be Christians. They're learning. Paul's having thought. Everything's not straightforward. You know how some people say, boy, I'd love to be a New Testament church. You would? You'd like to be like the Corinthians? Well, in fact, they are a New Testament church, aren't they? And they're in a mess. There's a lot of messy stuff there. They're saints, right? But there's a lot of mess. And so Paul's telling them things to try and straighten them out from their messes. There's party spirit. I follow this person. Oh, I follow this person. Oh, yes, but I'm just a Christian. You know? So they're all into party spirit. Paul says, this is not good. There's immorality. Yes, and this happens. You know, young churches, people get converted and they haven't got a clue what it's about. and they're still into drugs and they're still into sleeping around, and they've got to learn how not to do this sort of stuff. And Paul has to tell them about some of these things. He does it very firmly, but he still says they're saints, they've got to learn stuff, right? They've got to learn about marriage and how it works and how it fits in, particularly in their situation. They've got to learn about the use of gifts, and particularly not being proud. And so, oh yes, you know, I'm a preacher, you know, just keep in your place. No, he says that everybody's gifts are valuable. Everybody. Right? That's true here. Everybody's gifts are valuable. Yes. To be what God has made them, not to be what they aren't. And so he has to straighten them out on that. And there's food offered to idols. He has to straighten them out about food offered to idols. What are they to do in this situation? And we'll be talking about that a bit more. So he's straightening them out on other matters as well. When Paul does, he has two principles that he puts down early. I want you to look at First Corinthians 6:12. Don't know why I said two principles. Anyway, let's just try this one. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Please, and Peter's going to read that out for us.
Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything.
Okay, so he's saying everything is permissible, but I won't be mastered by anything. So there's a principle, and the first is when you're a Christian, you're free. And what do we all say? Amen. Yeah, it's true. When you're Christian, you're free. Free from a whole heap of things. Right? You're free from all that Jewish stuff and all those Jewish food laws. And you're free. You're free in Christ. You know? You're free. You're free from sin. Free from the power of sin. Well, we've still got to wrestle with it. But there's a freedom in Christ. And that's what he says. It's free. Okay. Now, it sounds like the Corinthians had a good grip on this principle. Maybe they had too good a grip on this principle. Because they said, we're free to do whatever we like, it doesn't matter. Right? It sounds like they overused the principle. 6:12 again, give it to us again, Peter.
Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything.
Okay, so there you go. What does it say? Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. See? There's a limitation to this freedom. Now, we could ask the question, time permitting, we would ask the question, what is it that we are tempted to allow to master us? Oh, that'd be a good question, wouldn't it? And it can be, and we all go, oh, alcohol, oh, you've got to be careful about alcohol. Yeah, you've got to be careful about alcohol. What about chocolate? Yeah? I mean, no, come on. Yeah? See? Now, you know, what happens? What happens? What happens? These people say, there's all these cream cakes, right? And these people come up to the table. Oh, I shouldn't. Well, if you shouldn't, don't. Yeah? Okay? But don't they say it? Say it all the time, okay? If you shouldn't, then don't. It's simple, okay? See, I mean, look, you can be mastered by all sorts of things, right? Mastered by all sorts of things. There's a book that's around which is called Addicted to Exercise. You can't imagine this could ever be true, but addicted to exercise. A book. And this guy was addicted to exercise. He was a bodybuilder, and you're supposed to have a certain percentage of body fat. I've forgotten what it is, you know. He had next to no body fat. He had so little body fat that when he walked on the stage, his feet hurt because he had no padding under his feet at all because he had lost so much body fat. It was all protein. It was all muscle. Addicted to exercise. Huh? What was he mastered by? Exercise, see, and looking a certain way. So we can be mastered by a whole range of things. It's not just alcohol and cigarettes. It can be a whole range of things. And so Paul is saying to these people, yes, you're free. Free to do whatever you like in Christ, but don't be mastered. First principle, is that good? That's good. Okay. But he says there's a higher principle. Okay. And chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. Chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. And Andrew, I'm asking you, yes? Okay, now, see? Again, it sounds like they've got it by the they've got a good grip on the basic Christian principle. You know, free in Christ. But there's a problem. The first problem was, don't be mastered by other things. But now he puts another restriction on this. And what's the restriction? Tell me. It's got to be the good of others. See? So it might be okay for me to do something. I might not be mastered by it, but still, even though I'm free, I am restricted, I ought to be restricted, if it's not good for other people. I've got to not just be thinking about myself, I have to be thinking about others as well. And that's a challenging principle, isn't it? To think what's good for other people. You know, I'm inherently selfish. I mean, I'm hoping I'm just human like everybody else. But that okay. But I mean, you know, see, when we're in a conversation, I'm just waiting for you to take a breath so I can tell you about my information. See, because I just think my information is so important. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, my family's interesting, aren't they? I mean, more interesting than your. Oh well, you can talk about your family, but I really want to talk about my family. I mean, isn't that how it goes? We think about ourselves. And Paul's saying, I'm not talking about here about talking about your families and that sort of thing. But he says, think about other people. It's not the way we tend to do. We tend to think about ourselves, not other people. And so he says, when you're making decisions about what you do and you don't do, then think about the other person, even if it's okay for you. Will it be good for them? Will it be good for them? Because, we'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. So just keep those principles in your mind. Okay? As we move towards 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 to 11, verse 1. So that's the context. That's part of the context. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 to 11, verse 1. And Stephen Coleman's going to read that for us, please.
So then, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give no offence to Jews, or to Greeks, or to the Church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ.
Good. Thank you. Yes. So, there's our passage. And it says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I wonder what it means. I wondered, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think this is where it comes out. What does it mean to do everything to the glory of God? And I'll tell you what I reckon. I reckon it means do everything so that not only I, but people around me will praise God and give him thanks. That's what I think it means. And background to that is in Matthew chapter 5. Why don't we have a look in Matthew chapter 5? Is it 5:16? Who's leading us? Yeah, that's good. 5:16. Yeah? What have we got for 5:16?
In the same way that your light shines before men, that they may see that your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
See? There you go. Christ is saying to his disciples, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, live your life in such a way that they'll see how you perform and they'll give glory to God. They'll praise your Father in heaven. See? So that's, I think, is the same principle that Paul's talking about. So when he says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, he's not just talking about a private, I'm going to be worshipping God. He's doing it unto the glory of God. Not only what he does, but those around him will also be more inclined to, encouraged to, pointed to, glorifying God. Now, why I say that, why that's important for me, I don't know how important it is for you. But to me it was very important because so easily this can be the private performance. I do it to the glory of God. I'm thinking about me and God. I'm not really thinking about out here. You know, I'm thinking about me and God. So that's what he's saying. Alright. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I ask you the simple question. How comprehensive is this? How comprehensive? You can do it. Be strong. How comprehensive? Extremely. Come on, you can do better than that. It's all. Oh, all? You mean all? You think this means all? You mean it's 100%? Everything. 24/7. That you actually believe that? Yeah. Okay, see, that's what it says, isn't it? See? That's what it says. See, if you force yourself, that is what it says. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all, hello, all to the glory of God. See? Have you ever thought what 24/7 means? Right? I know it means 31, but 24/7. You know what it means. See, it's all the time, isn't it? Have you ever thought about Jesus is Lord 24/7? 24/7. No time. There's no time we say, okay, Lord, look, I'm going to kick back now. I'm going to cool it. I'm just going to chill out for a while. You can't chill out for a while from the Lordship of Christ, can you? But you can. You can from your boss. You can from your work. You can from your studies. See? And I think that I want to say, Lord, this is my time now. Just, I'm not going to be bad, but I'm not going to be all that switched on. Just, this is my time. It's not like that. See? It's 24/7. 24/7. So that's a challenge to me that I'm having to wrestle with all the time. 24/7. So when he says all to the glory of God, we know what it means. It means 24/7. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This, at about this point, this gets scary. I don't know if it's sneaking up on you, but it's scary, isn't it? Because it's big. It's very big. If what I'm saying is true, if this is what the Lord's saying, then he's saying, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay. Whew, man. Okay. In relationship to whom do we have focus our behaviour? In relationship to whom? In the context, what's it say? Who? It's more specific than everyone, but who are they? Try verse 32. Jews, yes, they're Jews. Only Jews? Greeks as well. Who else? Church of God, okay. Now that, doesn't that cover everybody? I mean, it does cover everybody, but notice he says Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. Huh? And why is he talking about this? He says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, to do all to the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble. Right? Now, that's the bit that we said before, wasn't it? Right? Is it for the good of others? So he's thinking about Jews and Greeks and the Church of God. And he's doing this because, we could read it before, I think he's saying, because he's been talking about meat offered to idols. See? And you can have the problem with meat offered to idols. How does it work? Yes, okay. That's right. They haven't got a supermarket. In Corinth they didn't have a supermarket. Okay. And so what they did is that they would kill the meat in the temple. Right? And then it would go down, probably most of it, went down to the marketplace and people went and bought it. Everybody with half a brain knew that this meat was offered to idols. And what does Paul say? You can read it for yourself. But he says, look, you go in the marketplace, but don't ask questions. Just buy the stuff, right? It's not a conscious thing. Just buy it. That's okay, right? That's what he says. See? Because he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's God's meat. It's not their meat. It's not an idol meat. It's God's meat. You can buy it. It's not a hassle. Right? He says, you go to a party. There's meat there. Everybody knows they didn't get it at Coles. You know where they got it? They got it at the marketplace. Okay, I mean, everybody knows. But hey, if they don't ask a question, don't ask questions. Just let it be. Just eat the stuff. It's all right. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's his meat. Okay. But he says, if somebody asks you a question, then, there'll be a certain type of question, then don't eat. For conscience, not your conscience. You haven't got a conscience about this. Not a drama. But for their conscience. See? And if a Jew asks you and says, hey, do you know, that's been offered to idols. He says, don't eat it. Because they'll muck the Jews up. They'll get all confused. They'll be saying, oh, this is what Christians are. They're just really idol worshippers. And then they'll be turned off the gospel. See? So it matters to Syracuse. And what about Greeks? Well, the Greeks say, idol worshippers. Yeah? Why do I have to change? I don't have to change. you know, or the church of God. Because you might have a weak brother, and the weak brother who doesn't know what to do and can offend his conscience goes and eats this stuff and he really believes he shouldn't do it. So he's saying, keep your eyes and your ears open for the people around you. Look, it's not a drama for you, but for Jews or Greeks, the church of God, you're not trying to upset them in any way. That's what it means, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it with your eyes open for the Jews, the Greeks, the church of God, so that God will get glory. That's the focus. This is my take on what's going on. Okay, what does that mean in practice? What does it mean in practice? I want you to read the beginning. This is a very interesting verse. 33a. What does 33a say? Josiah. 1033a. That's not... No, 1033a. Just the beginning of... It said 1033. Just start reading till I tell you to stop. All right? Okay. Yes, you got it. Yes. New Testament. Yeah. Okay. No worries, mate. No, you're on.
Even as I try to please everybody in every way.
That'll do. Just as I try to please everybody in every way. How's that, eh? What does that mean in practice? Please everybody in every way. Now, let's just make the assumption. Let's make the assumption that that applies to us. Okay? We can go back to Corinth, and that's fine. But just imagine that applies to us. We try to please everybody in every way. What does that mean for us? Talk to your friends. What this means to please everyone in every way, everybody in every way. Yes? Let's see. A table. Yes, please, go.
We took that to mean that it really brings out the sacrificial love for the brother, because there's so many things that we like to do.
Yes.
And for us, it's no biggie, but...
Okay.
To be sensitive enough to think that could possibly cause some result to somebody else.
Okay.
And to live your life by that is very difficult.
Okay.
Or can be.
Okay, that's good. That's very helpful. Yeah, sure. That's on. Yeah.
We just put a couple of parameters.
Yeah, go on. Oh, look, turn off your mobile phone, please. Come on. What do you think it is? Oh, it's my wife. Hang on. Hi, Dale. I'm just in a lecture here. Why is my phone on? She said. That's because I wanted a message from you, sweetie. They're all picking on me, Dale. Do you want me to get back? I'll get back to you in half an hour. I'll get back to you in half an hour, yeah? Good on you, sweetie. Yes, there you go. There's going to be a spare room here tonight, isn't there? Good on. Okay, here we go. Right, now, what were you saying before we were rudely interrupted, brother? Yes.
I'm saying parameters.
Yes, yes.
At least they're saying we want to do everything we can to avoid offending someone.
Yes.
But there's also, on the other end, we don't do everything we can to avoid disobedience.
Okay.
People please be an idol.
Okay.
So we please be about,
okay.
The fear of God. So
okay.
We're thinking there needs to be some parameters.
Okay.
Blanket
right.
Statement that we just go.
All right. Are we happy with him? I mean, you know, limitations.
I can leave it if you want.
No. Yeah. Big Lucas.
Yeah, we also went as far as saying, Paul is saying that so that they may be saved.
Okay.
So it is in the overall plan. What you do is so that they may hear.
Okay.
Lord. So it's not just leading people so that they have to be asked.
Okay. All right. Yeah, okay, that's good. More? Anyone else? Yeah? This one. Yeah, go. You know who you are. Josiah. You know who you are.
Sort of putting a good of others up and before, up and above, sort of your name, so you're. In relation to the rest of the scripture, so if like someone wants to go and steal a car or something and it would make them happy, then go do it.
Okay, that's useful. Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, fine. Yeah. Over there, anyone, any added information from the table behind?
I thought that maybe this is like putting everyone first and putting yourself last.
Okay, useful. All right. That's helpful. Any insights on this table?
Not hindering the progress of the gospel.
Okay, useful. Yeah. What about anything come from this table?
well, there's a good bit of Tosimiro, it's about like self-denying and putting others.
Okay. Like the big man over there. Yeah, okay. That's good. All right. Let's just check. Let's just keep going. Right. Now, that's useful. Because you can see, we're really asking the big question because we've already gone, where therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God 24/7. So we're saying, this is in relationship to everybody, Jews, Greeks, and the Church of God. And we're saying that it's pleasing everybody in every way with limitations, but nevertheless, so it's not for self-aggrandizement, but nevertheless it's still pretty comprehensive, isn't it? Okay, all right. Okay, let's just keep going and see what this means. Okay, what did it mean for Paul? Look at chapter 9 verse 12. Yeah, 9 verse 12, Paul here's talking about getting paid for being an apostle. Who can I dob? Steve, go on, you're on.
Others have been tried to support the Jews, should we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ.
See, Paul says, I didn't take money. I could have taken a stipend, but I didn't take a stipend. Said, I didn't take a stipend, I didn't take any money because it might hinder the gospel. You see, he could go to places and he could say, look, I'm not ripping you off, right? I'm not ripping you off. Look, I'm working with my hands. I make tents. Right? And I'm doing this so the gospel will advance. And he's saying to the Corinthians, I could. I could have asked for a stipend, but I didn't. So it had to do, for him, with career choice and how much money he was going to earn. For the sake of the gospel. That's what it meant for him to say, I'll please everyone in every way. For the sake of the gospel. See? That's what it means for him. Now, it may not mean that for you, but we've got to have that possibility in our brain, don't we? It'll have to do with career choice and how much we earn or not earn or whatever. Okay. Well, we'll just see. That's where, don't go too fast. Right. Now, what does it mean? Chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. Chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. Yes, please. Man up the back. Yes, go.
So I am free and belong to no man. I make myself a slave to everyone. To win is nearly impossible. To the Jews, I become like the Jews to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law. Although I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law. So I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. To the weak, I become weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may be an apostle.
Now there you go. Jew to the Jew, Greek to the Greeks, all things to all men, in order that he might be a save some. That's pretty big. I mean, you know what that means, don't you? See? So when he was with Jews, he wouldn't eat pork. Wouldn't do that. And he'd do Jewish stuff. Not because he was obliged to. When people started to think it was a principle that he was obliged to do, he'd tell them, I'm not obliged to do this. Right? So Galatian situation and so on. Right? But he would fit in. He'd become a Jew to the Jew. To the Greek to the Greeks, he would do what the Greeks did. Right? Came all things to all men. Right? So imagine being that, you see. Those from New Zealand raised their hand. Okay, good. Imagine being in Australia. Okay. All right. Okay. And you're amongst all these Aussies who actually support the Australian cricket team.
Why?
I don't know, but they do because they're beating South Africa. That's why. Okay. But now, get a feel for this. Would you support the baggy green for the sake of the gospel?
What's this baggy green?
The baggy green's the Australians. Okay. For the sake of the gospel. Okay. No, but I mean, hear me. See. Okay. Yeah. Okay. For the sake of it, you're in the wrong country. Okay. But you see, you're starting to feel it, aren't you? Starting to feel it. See, those who know about Australian rules football. Okay. Put their hand up. Anybody here back from Collingwood? Okay. Can you imagine being a Collingwood supporter to the Collingwood supporters for the sake of the gospel. You can feel that, can't you? See? Yeah, you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Okay. Now, look, I know that in sport, yeah, people expect you to be different and all that sort of stuff. But you see, that's the cutting edge. I hate tuna casserole, right? Okay. Would I eat tuna casserole for the sake of the gospel? Yeah, I have to eat tuna casserole for the sake of the gospel. See? That's what he's saying. Becoming all things to all men for the sake of the gospel. So, I see, we're saying, yes, that is pleasing everyone in every way. Now, like we said, for the sake of the gospel. But it's pleasing everyone in every way. Not being a buffhead, not getting in the way, not doing silly things, not being, you know, you're trying to fit in. Not fit in as far as the truth's concerned, but fit in as far as any cultural thing's concerned. Right? People have come over from the United States. In connection with our church, and there's a guy over here now actually, and he's just got a great attitude. He says, I'm here to learn. Now come on, the guy's 80. He's 80, he's a minister, he's been a church planter, he knows heaps of stuff, and he says, I'm here to learn. And you just feel not threatened, not put down, because he listens to you, and you know, but then as he gets opportunity, he does things with you, you know. It's just that attitude of not being I know it all or whatever. So can you get a feel for what's going on? That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, and Jews, even as I try to please everyone in every way. Okay, so that's good. We're up to there. All right. Good-o. We're getting a feel for this. So that's what Paul did. Yes, we're just in 9. Okay. Now, we're back to chapter 10, verses 31 to 11, verse 1. Yes? And you've already told me this, but we're looking in verse 33, and you're going to tell me again, what is his ultimate goal in verse 33? That they might be saved. That's his goal. See? So he's doing these things with a goal in mind. And like Lucas said, he's not doing this in order that I think he's a good guy, or not to just fit in, or be in a good social club. He's doing it in order that they might be saved. That's why he's doing it. That's his goal. So that's his uppermost principle that guides his choices. What is going to be for the good of the gospel? Right? Not for the good of the RTC, not for the good of the RCNZ or the CRCA, it's for what's for the good of the gospel. Right? Now I'm not saying that the RTC or the CRCA or the RCNZ are not gospel spreading organisations, and they ought to be. Right? But at the end of the day, we're not looking for the size of our churches, we're looking for the spread of the gospel. And you know, I'm sure you know, I know, in your heart of hearts, this has probably happened to you somewhere in your life, it doesn't happen to you now, that is, that when you've got a full church, you feel pretty good. And maybe you feel pretty good because it's my church rather than it's the cause of the gospel. Now, I'm not accusing you. I'm just saying that can come up in your heart. It can come up in my heart. But yet, Paul's doing it not so he'll have a full church, but so for the sake of the gospel, so that they might be saved. Yeah, man. And so, what did he say? He said, so therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's his goal. Is that, and what would it be? You know the Great Commission, don't you? The Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. You see, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what Paul's doing, saying, and this is what it meant in his life. What it meant in his life was geared around this in his choices of work and whether he gets remuneration or the clothes he wears, the food he eats, the people he sits with, and how he sits with them. All has to do with around the gospel. Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, I think that's what it's saying. And so, you might say, mightn't you say, yeah, but look, he was an apostle, and I'm not an apostle. And I'd say, that's very good exegesis. They're the sort of questions you should say. That's the sort of thing you should say. See? Because we're not all apostles. We're not. Different people have got different jobs in the church. You remember Ephesians 4? Remember Ephesians 4? So you dare not say no, because then you'd be ashamed. You don't say yes because you're not quite sure. Okay? But Ephesians 4 says he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Yeah? Different jobs. Okay? And then they're training the saints to do their job. Or you go to Romans 12. And Romans 12 talks about different gifts. or 1 Corinthians, wherever, tells about different gifts. 12, yes? 12, yes, okay?
Yes. So,
that is, thank you. The New Testament man said it must be right. Okay. But you see, we're different. We're not all the same. Okay? And Paul's an apostle. And we're not apostles. So, oh boy, I'm glad. Imagine having to do all the things Paul was doing, eh? Boy, the pressure would be on, wouldn't it? I can just take it easy and chill out a bit. Except chapter 11, verse 1 says something. What does 11:1 say? Okay. Read it out loud, whoever started. Now, what's it say? It says, follow my example. That's what he says. He says to these Corinthians. So, with respect to this matter, not with respect to apostleship, no? Right? But with respect to this matter, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And you know the example of Christ who, for our sake, though he were rich, for our sake he became poor. See? And he says, Christ came and lived with us. I guess, I'm not into the trendy words, I don't know how they all are, but I think I've seen it floating around, incarnational. Incarnational ministry. That is, living amongst the people, as part of the people. Jesus did incarnational ministry. Paul did incarnational ministry. And he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Okay? Because, what's he aiming for? We know what he's aiming for. 1 Corinthians 10, he says, we just read it, didn't we? Yes, so that they might be saved. So that they might be saved. See? Because when people are saved, what will happen? When people are saved, they'll glorify God. They'll worship him, won't they? Someone said, we only have mission because we don't have worship. If everybody worshipped, we wouldn't have to have mission anymore. See? That's why we have mission. Because we don't have worship. When everyone in the world worships, we don't need mission anymore. Okay? But until everybody in the world worships, until everybody gives glory to God, then we need mission. And we need mission by the only missionary body there is. You know what it is? It's called the church. And guess what? We're all part of it. We're all part, according to Paul, or I think according to Paul. And we're all part of it. How much? How much of the day? 24. How many days a week? Okay, there you go, 24/7. We're part of it, all of the time. Now, we might be a good part of it or a bad part of it. We can't help it, because if we've come to Christ, that's just what we are. We're in the team, we're in the army. That's exactly how it is. We were talking about this the other day. Jack asked the question about the Moabites and the battle and all that sort of stuff. And I think that it's really, really useful to think in military terms. Think of the army. The army has a job to win the battle. But you know there are a number of different corps in the army. Right? You have the infantry. They're up the front. They're firing the bullets. You have the artillery. Right? They're softening it up by sending in the shells. Okay? You have the armoured corps, right? The cavalry, that go in with the tanks, depending on the particular terrain, but then they have their position. See? Or you have the engineers, who claim to be the first in and the last out. Because they go in to clear out the mines, they're the last ones out because they're laying mines or doing or blowing up bridges. And you have the signallers who send the messages to the front. They're the fighting corps. They've all got different jobs to do, but they're all called the fighting corps, those five corps. But then you've got the supporting corps as well, haven't you? See? You've got the catering corps. And they don't go up the front firing shots. The catering corps are there and they're providing the food for the infanteers who are up the front. And sometimes the infanteers wonder whose side the catering corps is on. But just the same, they're supposed to be on the same side and they go in the same direction. But you see the point? See? This is, and you've got intelligence, and I know military intelligence is an oxymoron, but still, you've got intelligence and you've got the electrical engineers, and you've got a whole range of corps, all supportive. But what do they all want to do? They all want to win the war, yes? See? And you don't send the caterers up the front. They know, they've all done basic training. They all know how to shoot a rifle, see? Just like all of us need to know, need to be able to give an answer for the hope that's in us, yes? Everybody, right? But some are evangelists, right? And some are better at that. but we're all in it together. Because we've all got one aim. And what's the aim? The aim is, subordinate aim, is that they might be saved. Yes? And the big aim is that they'll glorify God. See? You know the tragedy out there? There's a tragedy out there. And I don't think about it all that much because it might be too hard. The tragedy out there is that 90% of the people out there are going to a Christless eternity at a million miles an hour. That's what's happening right now. And it's hard to think about. Okay. There's a greater tragedy. There are babies being born in the hospital down there who'll spend their whole lives and never give glory to God once. That's terrible. And that's Paul's concern, you know. People aren't glorifying God. And the agency that God has given, we can't change people's hearts. We can't convert people. But we can listen to what our King says, we can follow him, and we can use the gifts and abilities given with that one aim in mind, which is that we spread the gospel for the glory of God. We ask the question. 1 Corinthians 10:31, what does it mean? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, I don't know what you came up with in your groups, but that's fine. You just have to think it through and say, what does this mean in my life? Doesn't mean everybody's going to be a minister, a pastor, missionary, but we're all in the battle. And we've all got to do what the God calls us to for the glory of God and for the advance of the gospel. And it may be just the same that some of you would be well suited to being ministers, missionaries, church planters, whatever. But that's not the only job, it's just one of the jobs. But what I've got to think about, what you've got to think about is, how can we use what God has given us in the best way for his glory 24/7 so that people will be saved if he will and he'll get the glory. Yeah? Well, let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word, which is just fantastic. Just thank you, and we pray that you will help us to think through what it means, what you're saying to us, so that we might respond increasingly every day, so that whether we eat or drink or whatever we do might be for your glory. So please remember us, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thanks, Maz. You're on. And we're through the